Well, you know, I must have been singing pretty loud because Mr. Scott says I'm about making a joyful noise. Well, anyway, I better get started on my sermon. How many of us like a good old trial? Trials are really technically good for us, but at the time it certainly doesn't seem so, does it? They prepare us, though, for our development to better ourselves and our God, and to be closer to our God, and it prepares us for the kingdom of God. Unfortunately, we bring some trials on ourselves, and some we have no control over. The example I'm going to give here today is so I don't point anyone out anywhere in the Church of God anywhere, so I'm going to bring us about myself and Wanda. As you know, Wanda and I have been going through some problems and trials of not being able to get our home sold. It's been over a year. It hasn't sold yet, and that can be very costly. Our health, well, that hasn't been the best. As you know, since the end of March, Wanda's been suffering a great deal with a lot of pain and suffering. And myself, even the past 8 months, I've had a couple same-day surgeries. I've had a lot of heart tests and many things in that order, but they have turned out to be pretty good. Our health, we are not unique there, are we? There's a lot of folks out there that have pretty serious things that make this look like nothing. But sometimes it seems like when we're praying about it, God is not listening. It just seems like our prayers aren't going very far. I remember one time I was praying, well, lots of times, but I remember I was praying, and I got so discouraged. I just told God, I said, I give up. I says, after that, I start to think, what am I saying? Telling God that I give up. It seems nothing is going so well. The suffering with Wanda and going through the situation with the home is causing a lot of issues with a bunch to me. And I just didn't know what to say. I just said, I just give up. But what I really meant to say, and I did tell God, how do you want me to pray? How do you want me to ask these things so that we can maybe get some results? Maybe I'm just doing something wrong. Well, there are plenty of examples in scriptures where people went through a lot of trials and tests in their days. And when I was at, well, first of all, let me back up. When I was asking him, it was, you know, really looking at myself, wasn't I? I was looking more inward instead of outward. We can look at Joseph. I'm not going to turn to scripture right away here, but Joseph, you know, he was sold into basically slavery. He was beaten. He was accused of sexual misconduct, especially when he thought things were going good. And when he was in Potiphar's home, he was starting to really excel and things were great. Then all of a sudden, he kept God's laws, kept the Ten Commandments of not committing adultery. So he left. Potiphar's wife wanted to have sexual relations, and he didn't do it. But what happened then? He got thrown into prison, back down again. You know, and eventually he came back up. He became second command to one of the world's greatest powers in the world at the time. And of course, we can look at Job. Yes, Job, a man of great integrity, was right before God. A wealthy man, very wealthy, probably the richest individual that existed at the time. But Satan wanted him. God allowed him to be tested. He lost all his herds and livestock. His financial income was gone. And worst of all, he lost his children. His children were killed eventually on two occasions with Satan going before God. He suffered greatly with open sores and just the boils, and he suffered greatly. But we know, and in the end, he was lifted up again, wasn't he? Because he could really see what God was wanting to say to him. He put aside his own integrity, and God had to show him where he was sinning. Paul, we know, went through much in his life. He was shipwrecked, he was beaten, stoned, left for dead. He was placed in prison, where much of the epistles were actually written while he was in prison. And he had a health issue too, didn't he? That God's, put it in modern terms, God said, basically, you know, Joe or Paul, just deal with it. But God was glorified in his pain, though, through that. But Paul remained faithful, and to the end, he did much of God's work in prison. We can turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'll be reading now the ESV translation. Hopefully give you a little more encouragement. That kind of started out a little, kind of a downer. But 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you. Notice it didn't say if it comes upon you, when it comes upon you, to test you as though something strange were happening to you. In verse 13, and it says what? He says to rejoice. Rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. You know, trials aren't fun, but when we put God in it, and the end result, God is glorified. And what a blessing, and truly is a joy, knowing that he's glorified. Then we need to see that when we go through trials, or we can encourage others who are going through trials. You know, Peter, if we remember him and a couple of disciples were released, oh, I don't know if it's prison, but the Pharisees released him and they were beaten so that they were not to speak in the word of Jesus Christ again. But what did they do? He rejoiced. He was joyous that he could suffer for Jesus Christ. There are blessings in trials, and that's the title of my sermonette. Blessings in Trials. I'm going to call that part one, because the next time I speak, I'm going to go a little further and a little deeper into this subject, because I think it's a very important subject and a large subject, which even next time I speak, I don't know if it'll be enough time yet, but we'll have to make it time. Romans chapter 5, and we can turn to Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, or we can say patience, produces patience, and patience produces character, and character produces hope. Now that was pretty encouraging. What is the hope that we have? Well, we know, I hope it's all our hope is the same of being born into the family of God and awaiting the resurrection if we're in our grave, or if we're not in our grave when the time comes when our change will come. There's the hope of being born in the family of God, waiting for that change. Trials prepare our hearts to serve others. We learn from our trials. And when other people are suffering and having issues in their lives, we can have examples with maybe some of the things that we have gone through and be able to be a comfort and help to others. So trials are really, truly a blessing in a lot of ways, because we can serve and help others. There is no suffering or inconvenience that should detract us from our goals. Here's an encouraging scripture. It's just one verse. I'll just refer to it. But if you want to turn, it's Isaiah 40, chapter 40 and verse 31. And it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." So, brother, myself, I said, I give up. I felt not so good after I said that. And like I said, I was just looking inward and not really outward. I seen an attitude not so good. But it showed me that I needed to see what a blessing it was to have this go on. These things happening, yes, pain is not good. But it puts our minds back to where? It puts our minds back to God. Prayers draw us closer to him. And it builds the trust and the faith that we all need to be building in our lives. And one more, it brings us to the point of humbling ourselves in fasting. Yes, I did fast the next day because I just seen that I wasn't probably not the right mood there, evidently. So yes, fasting helps. It puts us in our minds and in perspective. Yes, Wanda still has pain. My home is still not so. I still have many issues. In God's due time, and just like with all people who have trials and problems, In time, it will all be resolved. And then you're probably thinking of the one scripture that we always refer to, and I will refer to that. Let's turn to James chapter 1. Be verses 2 through 4 and verse 12. James 1, verses 2 through 4 and verse 12. Verse 2, it says, "What? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have the perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." And I really believe in that strongly, because I fall right in there with a person who is not very patient. And I know I have brought that up before. But I do think more before I react, although I still need to improve upon that. So I need to get better so the trials can be over. Okay, verse 12. "Blessed is the man that endures temptations, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which your Lord has promised them that love him." Yes, brethren, there is a prize. There is a crown for us, and we endure to the end, as Paul says. Endure to the end. There is a lot here. We can have joy in our sufferings because it makes us stronger and closer to God in an amazing, faithful relationship with him. It develops patience, and in all reality, it truly develops love to God, a bonding that is strengthened because we can see who we really are. And it takes God and abundance of his Holy Spirit to get through the days ahead. We will have trials, some very sore trials. I don't know what we all may go through, but we know there's a lot going on in the world, especially in the Church of God, with the amount of prayers that are always requested. Sometimes I find myself even not even praying for thy kingdom come, because I'm so involved with so much people's prayers that are needed, that we get involved. You're spending a half hour or more, and then you're just kind of tiring out and you quit. So there's a lot going on in the world, a lot going on in the Church of God. We are not immune to it. In John 16, verse 33, I'll just refer to that one. It says, "Christ said these things, I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Well, we do have quite a helper, Jesus Christ, as he's been through more than any other man that has ever gone through any trials and tests. Well, tests, he's gone through a great deal of suffering for mankind. I know I'm thankful for you all. I know you pray for us, and we know we pray for one another. This is a good praying church, and that's always appreciated to those who we all pray for too. There are many brethren here, even locally, who are going through such times. The times ahead may be tough, but we have Jesus Christ, who endured more than any human ever will. He understands. But one hopefully encouraging note as I close: we will succeed, because Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8 will be my closing scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8, it says, "And the Lord, he it is that does go before thee, and he will be with you. He will not fail you. He'll neither forsake you. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Brethren, there is hope. There is joy. There are blessings, even though it doesn't seem like it. But when we have trials, if we have to go through them, what a blessing it is to know that Jesus Christ is at our side.